Hi everyone, this is Adam Riley, Senior Editor at Cube 3. I thought we'd try something a little bit different today. Rather than the normal podcast feature, the normal setup where we have Mike or George or James, all of us together having a bit of a chat, it's just me, on my own. So bear with me, let's see how it goes, something different. The problem with Cube 3 sometimes is that we'll have dry periods where there's not that much information released, and then all of a sudden we'll be bombarded with news piece after news piece, reviews, previews, articles, all kind of lumped together, and sadly, obviously, certain things are going to get overlooked. So I just want to take this opportunity to have a little bit of a recap, cover some of what I would consider some of the main games, and maybe some of the content that I've produced that isn't really being given the attention it should do, mainly because they're smaller games. I tend to cover things on the DSiWare, for instance. Talking of the DSiWare and the DSi and the DSi XL, you have the DSi XL, which launched at the beginning of March in Europe. It's doing very well. You've seen a distinct rise in sales of DS games as a result of it. America only got it at the end of March, just after the announcement of the 3DS. Whether or not that will make any impact on sales or not, I'm very doubtful, to be honest, purely because the DSi XL, Nintendo know that if people want to get hold of the DSiWare service, they have to buy a DSi or a DSi XL, or choose the option of waiting for, well, it's going to be more than a year, because if Japan only gets it in spring next year, Europe and the US aren't going to get it for maybe, three, 4 months after that, minimum. So buying the DSi XL is definitely a good option for anyone that held off, thinking, why should I buy a DSi? It's not got the Game Boy Advance slot. How can I play Guitar Hero? Certain things like that. The XL is massive, to put it simply. It's got 4.2-inch screens. It's got special, fancy, wide-angled screens so that people can sit down and they can watch you while you're playing on it. It's fantastic, seriously. It's breathed new life into a heck of a lot of DS games that otherwise have just been sat on the shelf gathering dust. So yeah, so the DSi XL's out now. There are several articles on Cube 3 with image comparisons, detailing the specifications of the system, basically just trying to sell you the product, like the good little troopers that we are. Now, the people in Korea, well, they've only just been told about the DSi. Okay, we've had it for over a year now. We knew about it before then, but Korea will have to wait until the 15th of April for the actual original DSi system to launch. Nintendo isn't going to sneak this out onto the shelves though. It's sold 3 million Nintendo DS Lite systems in 3 years. That's not it's not bad going that for a market that's very PC centric. So yeah, so Nintendo has cracked the market over there, even though there's a heck of a lot of piracy, just as there is everywhere. Now it's bringing out the DSi with a big bang. Not only on the 15th will it launch alongside MapleStory, that fantastic online free MMO RPG blah 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 from Nexon Korea. It's being pushed by one of the biggest girl groups in Korea at the moment. They're called Sonyeoside, which is, in English, is Girls' Generation, or SNSD, as they like to be called for short. Very popular group, very pretty girls, very catchy songs. Last year they had a very big hit called G, this year O, and not going through alphabet letters, of course, here. And the new single's Run Devil Run. And Nintendo is cashing in on their popularity, just like it did in Japan when it originally launched the DS, and it had various Japanese stars to help push it. So yeah, so at the moment Korea are being treated to these ridiculously cute adverts with benign pretty young girls kind of like dancing around and testing out the camera functions of the DSi and giggling and laughing and using all the editing functions of the camera and the photo package within the DSi. Even though it's very simple and basic, clearly they look quite happy. And Nintendo is clearly hoping to play on the fact that young girls, young teenage girls, will lap this up and they'll have fun in the playground, taking photos of each other, putting pink bows in the hair, pulling funny faces, doing face comparisons, etc., so on and so forth. So yeah, 15th of April, that's coming out in Korea. I mentioned MapleStory. There's another reason why MapleStory is quite important for Cube 3. For the past 2 years, we've been in talks with Nexon Korea to try and get an interview about the game, because it's massive in Korea, it's massive in Japan, it's got a very strong following in the West, but there's not been much information about the DS game so far. In fact, everything went so quiet that I think a lot of people thought it was cancelled. But sure enough, Nexon's been working very closely with Nintendo in Japan and Nintendo Korea to ensure that the game does finally hit the market. So yeah, so that's going to come on launch day. And Cube 3 will also have an exclusive interview with the developer. So stay tuned for that. I'm hoping it will be a good interview after such a long wait. The other thing in Korea, yeah, the DSi is out. The Wii's out. The Wii's still doing very well. Sold over 1 million units so far. But no WiiWare service. However, the DSiWare service is about to launch. And Nintendo is doing fully localized versions of Pyoro and WarioWare Snapped. It's even working with Atlus on a game. And, oh, yes, Arika. There's a bullet hell shooting game that I've had my eye on. It's been out in Japan for a while. For some reason, it's not been translated yet for the Western market. However, it's coming at launch in Korea. It will be very interesting to see how this goes down, because obviously the Korean market is very PC-centric, as I keep saying, and they love their online content, which is part of the reason why MapleStory is such a big hit, and the fact that it's free. But that's not the point. So, online content, DSiWare online. Nintendo's been pushing the online content of the Wii for quite a while now. So I'm sure it will be doing exactly the same with the DSi and its DSiWare service. So it will be quite interesting to see how that launch goes. So in just under 2 weeks, all eyes will be on South Korea to find out what happens. Now at the moment, my wife is still over there, so I will have her on red alert, keeping her eyes out, seeing what's going on. So yeah, watch out for that. As for content on Cube 3, we've had quite a lot of reviews and previews going up lately. Being the one of the only members of staff with a DSi, I am the privileged one that gets to try out all the DSiWare games, whether they are good or not. Now, Glob's team have an online Flash game called Globulus, and they've got funding, French funding, from the CNC, and they've converted this online Flash project to DSiWare in the form of Globulus Party. It costs 500 points. There's a bit of an issue because when it came out in America, Nintendo messed up the DSi shop front page and the game didn't get any promotion, so unfortunately it's not had a lot of coverage over there. However, in Europe it's already doing pretty well. Apparently sales in about three European countries, something I can't remember off the top of my head, but something like Holland, France and Spain together combined make the entire sales of the US market. It's a cute little game, definitely one that you need to play in multiplayer, because if you play it on your own you tend to get a little bit let's just say it loses some of its appeal when you're playing on your own, because you've got these three cute little balls and each one has a circle around it. When you touch it, you're able to draw an arrow of a specific length up to the maximum perimeter of that circle around your globulus, as they're called, hence the name of the game. So yeah, so you touch on it with a touch pen, you drag the arrow in the direction you want, the longer you draw the arrow, the further your little ball will fly, and then you let go, and you get all three of them set up in the position that you want them, and going in the directions that you want them to go in, and then you hit go. And they all fly off, bouncing around various different stages. Now that sounds very simple, doesn't it? Well, obviously there is an aim to this, because there are opponents that will do exactly the same thing. And there is normally some sort of ball, or a puck, or a basketball, or something like that. Because there's various different stages, football, basketball, ice hockey, stuff like that. There's quite a wide range of things. There's even a sumo one, to be honest, where you have to bounce this large guy around a stage by hitting your globulus around and knocking into him to try and hit him over the edge. Yeah, it's fun. Very simple, very basic, but very fun. It's 500 points. It's well worth having a go at. Okay, it can become, like I say, a bit repetitive if you're playing on your own. However, get a couple of friends involved and then it becomes much more fun because you're pitting your tactics against each other, trying to be clever. So yeah, it only got a 6 out of 10 on Cube 3, but if you actually read the review, it's not very negative, because after all, remember, 6 out of 10 is above average. Yeah, I know people seem to forget that nowadays, but 6 out of 10 is a decent review score. However, the DSiWare is a very... Well, I keep hearing that sales are very, very low on the system. And unfortunately, the only ones that seem to be doing really well are Nintendo games. And the Game & Watch series is one that's doing very well right now. And I really do not think it's justified. It's not deserved. Now, I apologise now, Nintendo, but I'm just being honest. There's been 3 released so far. See, 30 years ago, Game & Watch revolutionised the industry. No one had seen anything like it before. It was fantastic. But now Nintendo has broken down the entire series of games and they're releasing one at a time for 200 points each. So at the moment, there's Judge, Mario Cement Factory, and Chef. Judge, simply, it's a case of 2 numbers will appear on the screen. If your number is higher than your opponent's, then you can hit them. If their number is higher than yours, you can dodge. And that's it. And you can't even get a higher score than 99. And to get 99 points is very, very simple. Because, say for instance, your number is 9 and their number is 2 and you hit them, then you get 7 points. You get the difference between the two numbers. So of course you're racking up a score very quickly. So you hit 99 and suddenly, boom, finished, that's it, game over. What's the point? Okay, yeah, sure, back in the day, then it could have been quite interesting, could have been fun, you know, play it with your friends. Now on DSiWare, no, very limited appeal, very limited. I wouldn't recommend that at all. Mario Cement Factory, a little bit more fun. You've got to run up and down platforms, you've got to make sure that you don't fall off the edge, you've got to time things perfectly as you go around this cement factory, flicking levers to let the cement drop down into trucks at the bottom of a stage. The problem is, everything goes one step, two step, three step. Everything's automated in very slow steps. It can get quite frustrating. It's very easy to just kind of fall off the edge as you press in right too many times, and then suddenly what is supposed to be Mario, even though it looks nothing like Mario, drops off the edge and goes splat on the floor. Or you land on the elevator, like you're supposed to, on the lift, sorry, and you stay on it a bit too long, and whoosh, right to the top, splat again. So, game over. Limited appeal, once more, but far, far more fun than Judge, seriously. Because at least you're testing your skills, and you're testing your reactions, not just... Oh, no, I don't like Judge. Anyway, so Cement Factory, better, still not fantastic, still not highly recommended. I think I gave it a 5. So no, another one. Chef, I've just finished that review. It's waiting to go online. Chef is quite fun in a way, but I will keep using this word limited. I know it's only 200 points, but to be honest, there's so much fun that can be had with Puro. Bird and Beans, or the latest one, Bird and Bombs. See, 200 points doesn't mean you just have, you know, it's not just money that you throw away for no reason. You actually want a decent game. So yeah, so 200 points, save it. Chef, yeah, you move left and right. You are Mr. Game & Watch, and you are flicking up to 4 ingredients in the air, and you move left and right, and the aim is to try and keep them in the air. You move right, you flick a sausage up in the air. Move left, flicks a fish up into the air. If you don't catch it quick enough and flick it up quick enough, then there is a mouse that will run along at the bottom of the stage, grab the food. You get a mistake icon that pops up in the top right hand corner of the screen, and get 3 of those, it's game over. No, again, no. Forget the Game & Watch series for the moment. I'm sure that, I mean, there are plenty of them that came out 30 years ago and, you know, in the subsequent years after. But for now, those first 3 offerings are really not a good indication of what's to come. But I'm sure once Nintendo releases Donkey Kong or something like that, or the original Mario Brothers, That's as in Mario Brothers, not Super Mario Brothers, the very, very old multiplayer Mario Brothers that came on the NES. I'm sure people will be lauding praise upon the Game & Watch series once more. Something that is much more interesting, though, see, alright, I've been boring you now with the Game & Watch talk and telling you not to buy it. What I will say now is, buy Infinite Space. You know Platinum Games? Yes, they used to be Clover Studio, but that's long gone now. Platinum Games, they've had Bayonetta, they've had Mad World, and now they have Infinite Space. They've been working with a company called Nude Maker, interesting name. They do work on adult games as well. Used to be part of Human Entertainment, if people recall that. Yeah, Infinite Space. It's a galactic space opera, or something like that. Epic space opera, or something convoluted in terms of description. Basically, you are this young boy called Yuri. You're desperate to get out into the open universe. Spread your wings and fly. However, of course, you don't have a ship. And you're also not allowed to leave your planet because your government just refuses to let anybody leave. However, of course, as is always the case with these sort of stories, he rebels and he goes out into space. It sounds very cheesy, I know, but it's a very good game. It's one of those where you look at it at first and the graphics are so-so. The character portraits are very poor quality. Seriously, they look like they're something from the early 90s on the SNES days or something like that. However, this is definitely a case of where it's content that really wins through. Very gripping story. Very good. You're introduced to a large cast of characters over the duration of the game, and it lasts a long time. So there are plenty of characters. And the good thing is that each one has a very good backstory. The way the story is written, everything is developed really well. It also helps that the battle system is quite cool. It doesn't seem like it at first, but it's actually very in-depth. It seems quite simple to start with you going into, you know, you will fly from planet to planet. And basically, as you're travelling from planet to planet, travelling through space, you will randomly encounter various other enemy ships. Once you get into a battle, then it's a case of drawing yourself towards the enemy, so you're within attacking range, and then quickly firing off either a normal attack or a barrage attack, which is like three hits in one, but leaves you open to missing if they dodge. Getting your attack quickly, and then hit retreat to kind of draw your ship away, pull away, get out of range, wait until your battle gauge is filled up again, and then try and dash forward again, and just try and get the right balance until you dispatch the enemy in the most efficient, methodical way. And then off you go again. And then once you reach a particular planet, once you dock your ship, then you can hire new crew members, you can pick out intricate parts of your ship, and you can update everything. You can add new cabins to make your crew happier. You can improve the engines, improve the weapon fire as expected. There are lots of little details. You can add a sick bay, then make sure that one of your crew members looks after that sick bay. And every little statistic can be tweaked and nudged around to however you would like it. And everything does have an effect in the actual battles. You will see that you can sway things in your favour if you get the right combination of ship parts, crew members that you've hired from a guild. Make sure the crew are in the right positions, because if you've got crew that are very good at weapons fire, and then you've got them, you know, working as a nurse, and yet you've got a chef as your chief navigator, then the game will actually penalise you for putting people in the wrong position. So if things go wrong, it's not the game's fault, it is your fault. It's a very interesting game. It's quite slow paced sometimes, and then other times it will ramp up the story and build things up, and as just as you were kind of losing a little bit of interest, suddenly it will grab you again, and then you're engrossed, you're drawn right into this story. Very engaging. Very engaging, and it helps that the soundtrack is simply fantastic. It really is fantastic. Applause, you know, for the composer of the soundtrack. Really, really impressive. One of those where I actually have an external speaker for my DS. I'm playing this on my DSi XL. because looking at it on the bigger screen, okay, like I said, the graphics weren't that good, but still, DSi XL, very good, very impressed. External speaker, surround sound, sounded wonderful. Yeah, I've never heard the DS sound so good. Well, not for a long time, anyway. So, that's out now. It's out now in America. It's out now in Europe. I think that it's also out in Australia. Started off quite well in the UK. Number 26 on the DS Top 40 in the UK. That was last week. We shall see what happens this week. For a game of its ilk, that's not a bad start, because we've seen quite a few big-name games that have just completely missed out on the DS Top 40 in the UK. Sadly, all we seem to buy are Imagine games and all sorts of casual quiz things. Quiz things are the big thing at the moment. Crosswords and Mahjong even, and Sudoku, and all that sort of stuff that people, you know, they do when they're reading the newspaper on the way to work, but now they do it on the DS instead. That, and of course Nintendo stuff like Professor Layton and New Super Mario Brothers and the usuals. So for Infinite Space to actually get in at number 26, I was really, really quite surprised by that. Now the question is, can it improve upon that next week? I don't have high hopes, in all honesty, but we shall see. We won't find out on Monday, because of course it's a bank holiday here. It is Easter. Happy Easter, everyone. So we will find out on Tuesday, no doubt. Anyway, yeah, Infinite Space, definitely buy that. Game & Watch, kind of just sidestep that. Save your money, get Infinite Space. Right, next thing, we talked about DSiWare a bit. We've just had a DS retail game. Now, WiiWare. WiiWare is home to some fantastic games. And again, they're all puzzle games. And I love my puzzle games. But the good thing is, some of these developers, they're taking the puzzle theme and they're twisting it around. And they're trying to develop it a bit more. Just so it's not mundane. It's not run-of-the-mill. It's much more interesting. And now, Game Arts. You hear the name Game Arts, you think of Grandia, you think of Luna. In fact, to be honest, nowadays people might think Smash Brothers. Magic Obelisk is a very beautiful game. Now, I will happily admit it is beautiful. The graphics are vibrant. The little character, Lucas, who is a tree spirit, looks a little bit like the cel-shaded Link, just to give you a bit of a brief idea. This is it's a puzzle game where basically you have to create shadows around a stage for Lucas, the protagonist, to wander around and get from start to finish, reaching the goal, and then move on to the next stage and create more shadows. Now, that sounds boring. However, Game Arts have done miracles with this simple formula. There are three types of obelisks. There are red ones, which are fire, which can melt ice cubes. There are blue ones, which will create shadows of ice. And there's yellow ones, which will create shadows that lift Lucas up into the air and float him across large gaps, which is very handy. The ice ones, the blue obelisks that create ice paths, have advantages in that they will remove any fire hazards. If you see something that's burning or something that's too hot that will hurt Lucas and cause him to faint, then you simply unleash this and it will solve your problems. However, you need to remember, on certain stages there are ghosts that walk up and down and they will happily hit Lucas. Now, if you go across one of these icy paths, then Lucas can't stop. So you will slide along and you will hit into one of these ghosts who will knock you. Now, unfortunately, Lucas being a tree spirit, if he comes into contact with direct sunlight, he turns straight into a tree. Not the ideal situation, really, which is why he sticks to shadows, and he has his little light spirit called Popo, who can use these magic obelisks around the levels to shine his light on the obelisks, create the shadow. Lucas will wander along the shadowy path and gradually head towards the goal. So, but you've got to work out the correct angles, you've got to direct Lucas by calling him sometimes, like I say, avoid enemies. There are also various tasks to do. For instance, there's a mother bear and she's looking for something, and you have to try and divert your path around the stage in order to find what she's looking for. It's great. It really is. It's a very simple theme and it's been developed considerably. A lot of thought's gone into it. It's a gorgeous soundtrack as well. So beautiful graphics and a gorgeous soundtrack. The game is really well packaged. It looks fantastic. It sounds fantastic. It plays wonderfully. And unfortunately, Game Arts currently has no plans to release this in Europe. Now, they have told Cube 3 that if they get enough response from European readers, and that goes for you Australian readers too, and American ones that want to recommend the game, you have to let your voice be heard. Let them know that you want the game. I'm not quite sure what the reason is behind why they won't give it a PAL release, but sadly that's just the way the world is. And unless we can convince them to do it, then they're not going to do it. And you guys really are going to miss out on one of the best WiiWare games out there at the moment. Okay. Now moving on. That's not to take anything away from Shining Interactive's latest game. Now, the German company, you'll know them from Nanostray. You'll know them from Iridian 3D. You'll know them, basically, for the shooting games that you were desperate to get on WiiWare. However, they're teasing us. They're not giving us that yet. There is the promise that Nanostray 3 will arise from the ashes, and it will land possibly on WiiWare. Well, in fact, most likely on WiiWare, because they've kind of given up on the DS now, which I don't blame them, because the market's going to hell right now. For now, Shining Interactive is bringing us Art of Balance. It's been out in the US now for quite a while. It's only just arrived in Europe. And seriously, the first game was Fun Mini Golf, which was so-so. You know, it looked very good as usual, because Shining's production values are fantastic. They do wonderful soundtracks. They've been working on that sort of stuff for many years now, like over a decade, something like that. So they know exactly what they're doing. So production values, people will have seen on Nanostray 2. It's still one of the most visually attractive DS games out there. Throws a lot of stuff around on the screen without any slowdown. But anyway, that's getting off the point. Art of Balance on WiiWare. Again, no twisting, no turning of the remote, nothing fancy. All it is you point at the bottom of the screen, you pick up a shape. You have to pile things up one on top of the other. So you have these various different shapes that sometimes they will look like they do not want to sit on top of each other. But being a very highly realistic physics-based puzzle game, it's a bit of a mouthful, you are able to get some of these things to balance in ways that just don't look normal at all. But due to the laws of physics, it works. So you will have circular shapes, you will have L-shaped shapes, you will have very unusual flat on one side, round on the other shapes. And basically, yeah, you have to use everything in your inventory at the bottom of the screen and pile everything up on top of each other or to the side or wedge things in spaces. And once you've used all your pieces, there is a 3-second counter. Well, it lasts actually more than 3 seconds. It's three lights that come up on the screen. And boy, is that a tense time when you've finished piling things up and you can see things teetering and tottering, and suddenly the green light's going bing, 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 level cleared. And you're thinking, phew, thank goodness for that. It's one of those that will drive you nuts, but in a very good way. But there's no twisting of the remote to turn shapes around. Once you've picked things up with the A button, you just point at the screen. And as you point at the screen, the game will automatically zoom in so you can very carefully, very meticulously place something gently on top of another item. Now, if you wish to switch a shape around, you just press the button again, press one of the action buttons again, and it will rotate the shape around. Rather than having to twist the controller round and round and, you know, ultimately break your wrist. This is a great game. Art of Balance, sadly, is being overlooked, maybe because of its name, maybe because of its genre, maybe just because it's not been getting enough promotional work. Cube 3 will have a review of it very soon. I can tell you straight away it's getting a 9 out of 10. Definitely. Definitely, without a shadow of a doubt. Alright, yeah, I love Magic Obelisk, but I also love Art of Balance. I like my puzzle games, but I like my puzzle games with a little bit of substance. Magic Obelisk has a nice story, very good production values, develops the idea very well. Art of Balance really does play to that sort of core puzzle fan within inside me. Yeah, the sense of gratification once you've managed to get things balanced perfectly, and you see the three green lights pop up and it goes level cleared, brilliant. Not only are there simple balancing stages like that, there are also challenge stages. For those of us that are very good at video games, okay, there might not be that much challenge in Art of Balance, because using your brain, using your eyes, using your judgment, and hopefully a steady hand, you'll be able to breeze through the normal levels quite quickly. That's why Shinen has put in these challenge modes. Some are against the clock, some will feature a base that is on water that's wobbling all over the place, so even if you gently place an item down, everything is jiggling all over, so trying to get anything to stay statically vertical is very difficult. There will be certain stages where it will look very simple to put items out at very low level, but that does not suffice, because there is a gauge at the right side of the screen telling you how high your blocks have to be in order to complete the stage. So you will have to, if you have a very narrow Z-shaped icon and an L-shaped icon, and you're thinking, well, great, I can just lie those horizontally. No, you can't. You're going to have to place the L-shape down vertically. You're going to have to try and balance the Z-shape on top of the very thin part of the L, and then you've got to kind of build up from there until the gauge says it's okay, and you're still trying to keep things balanced so it don't all fall off. It's great fun, that. The challenge levels really do, they get something inside you kind of burning it, and once you get those completed and you get the full green lights, it's one of those yes, get in there sort of feelings. Definitely. Highly recommended. Okay. What else? WiiWare. Right. Fishy Fishy. French company called DK Games. They're bringing out Fishy Fishy. It will be on WiiWare this coming Monday in the US for 500 points. It's a very simplified game. One button and that's it. You just point at the screen, you press A, and you control your little fish on the screen. Now this fish will be swimming around in one particular direction if you let go of A. And if you hold down A, then it will go in the opposite direction. And if you tap A, it will shoot forwards. And if you keep tapping A rapidly, then it will dash forwards. And that's about it. That's all there is to it. Now, the version that Cube 3 played yesterday was a version of football. Now, you control this little fish on the screen, and you can have a computer or friend-controlled teammate, and you can face off against either just... If it's just you on your own, then you'll face off against one computer opponent or your friend. Or if it's you and a friend playing, you can face off against two computer opponents. One computer opponent and a friend, or two friends. You can have up to four players, basically, banging this out. And you will have your little fish dashing around these stages. You'll be rapidly pressing the A button, trying to hold the A button to get it to spin around in the other direction. Tapping A again, running, just to try and get this ball in this football mode. Grab the ball. Once the fish has got the ball, then you've got to try and dash. And if you rapidly press A and dash so quickly, the ball shoots off, hopefully, in the direction of the goal if you've got the right angle. However, you've got to try and avoid your opponents, because if they dash into you, then of course you will lose the ball, you've been tackled, they will take the ball and they will go off and they will score. And it will drive you crazy. You will be screaming at the TV. You will be going, ah, pulling your hair out. You know, you've just surrendered a 4-0 lead and now you're losing 5-4. How did that happen? Well, it can happen very, very easily, because once you start to lose control, you're rapidly starting pressing A and you're doing everything and it's all going wrong. So that's definitely one that you'll have a heck of a lot of fun with your friends. Get three mates over, have a few drinks, and that will get very competitive, because not only do you have to try and get the ball, score the goal, or tackle your opponents, you have to make sure that your fish are still well fed. There's a little health bar that appears underneath your fish, and it starts to deplete very quickly. Now there are various other plankton or fishy creatures floating around the stages, and as you're going to go get the ball, just make a quick diversion past one of these other creatures and you will consume it, and then that's it, your fish is fine. It's not too much of a distraction, it's a nice little aside just to keep people on their toes so it doesn't become too mundane. Also, there are plenty of weapons floating around. For instance, there is an egg timer. This egg timer will slow down your opponents, believe it or not. And there's what else is there? Oh yeah, a piece of dynamite that will blow up your enemy briefly, knock them miles away from the ball. And there's also the opportunity to get some little sharks that will float around your goal just to protect it for a short while, so no one can score against you. Very interesting. There's a few other modes to it. I think there's a capture the flag or capture the star mode as well. I've not played everything yet. I got quite hooked on this football game yesterday. I'm really looking forward to playing more of it later, actually, when I finish doing this. So yeah, that's actually coming out on Monday in the US. 500 points, 4 players, 1 button, lots of stages, lots of fun. It's great, really is. Look forward to that one, definitely. Not sure when it's coming out in Europe though yet, and neither is the developer DK Games. They're not quite sure yet. Still waiting on Nintendo Europe to get back to them about that. So as soon as we find out though, as soon as they find out, they'll let us know, and then we'll let you know, and everything will be fine. Great stuff. So, moving away from the download side again, let's go back to the retail. We have Sin and Punishment 2. It's coming out on the 7th of May in Europe, and the 7th of June in the US, I believe. You play as Issa or Kachi, and it's by Treasure, famous for their shooting games like Ikaruga or Radiant Silvergun. This is a on-rail shooter, kind of. Well, those that like House of the Dead will probably enjoy this, but also those that like Ikaruga will also enjoy it as well, because it is a mixture of on-rail shooting and traditional sort of bullet hell mayhem, blasting away at the hordes of enemies that are flying towards you on a constant basis. And you're playing as either this, you know, the young boy who's the son of the character from the very first Sin and Punishment game on the N64 from years ago, or you're playing as his female friend, and you either run around stages or you can float in the air and you can blast away using the Wii controller pointing at the screen. Use the Wii Zapper even, so you actually, you know, that's where the House of the Dead feel starts to come in, because you know you've actually got the light gun in your hand and you're blasting away at the screen, getting rid of all the enemies that are flying at you. High octane stuff, really adrenaline pumping, heart thumping, gets your palms sweaty, very enjoyable. Great soundtrack, really gets your mind going. It really does get you in a bit of a fluster at times, to be honest, because there's so much going on that it's hard to keep up with what's going on. But very enjoyable. Again, I'm not being too negative here. I'm on a bit of a roll with the positives after Game & Watch. So yeah, Sin & Punishment 2, coming out next month in Europe. Comes out the month after in the US. It's from Treasure. Nintendo are publishing it on the Wii. Definitely one to watch out for. I've just put my hands-on article online on Cube 3. You can read that now. I only went up today. So, you know, have a look at that. It's a good read, you know, not to blow my own trumpet. But hey, it's one of the games that Mike, James and I played at the Nintendo Media Summit a month or so ago. You know, where we played Mario Galaxy 2 and Metroid Other M and Fling Smash, Monster Hunter 3. We played all those games, and Sin and Punishment as well. Obviously, it's been a while now and it's a bit of a delay, but still, the games aren't out yet, so read the hands-on. Get the idea in your head, you know, of how good it is, what sort of game it is, whether it will appeal to you, whether you want to play that on your Wii, on your large HD screen. Actually, that's the point. Playing that on my 40-inch, you know, full HD monitor, it looks bloody impressive. Using a component cable, of course, don't just use the regular RGB SCART cable, because nothing really looks that good on a HD TV with that. Yeah, component cable, big flat screen TV, looking good. Keep an eye out for that. No More Heroes, Desperate Struggle. Some sources say it's coming out at the end of April. I've also heard that it's coming out sometime in May in Europe. It's been out in America since the beginning of the year via Ubisoft. Rising Star Games are bringing it to Europe and Australia. They had a recent event with Goichi Suda, Suda 51, as people call him now, simply because Go is 1 and Ichi is Go is 5, Ichi is 1 in Japanese, so Go Ichi 5-1 Suda 51. Yeah, simple. They had an event with him talking to various members of the journalistic world, including Stu from Cube 3. You will have seen the interview on Cube 3 for a while now, and there was a banner up, it's just gone down now, but Stu also managed to have some hands-on time with the game. And that article should be up quite soon. been a bit of a delay on that. That's my fault. But it will be going up soon. We have lots of articles backlog, you see, so it's not quite as simple as get the article and stick it right up, folks. No More Heroes 2. Look forward to that. What else have we got? Josh is going to be reviewing Miles Edgeworth, Ace Attorney Investigations. That is a fun game, that. Anyone that likes the Ace Attorney games that was quite wary about it, don't be wary at all. Just jump straight in. Okay, they've changed the interface. You can control Miles Edgeworth directly by moving him around with the touchscreen or the direct input controls, and have Detective Gumshoe or one of his other friends from this new game follow him around. However, it plays exactly the same as the Ace Attorney games, other than the fact that you're not in court. You will do your investigating around the crime scenes. You will do your deductions. You will use your logic. You will wander around. You will meet wacky characters, wacky new characters, and wacky old characters. You'll come across a few characters that you think, oh my god, they brought those back. Wow. That is a great game. Loses some of its appeal part of the way through. A couple of the cases kind of drag on a little bit or do not quite fulfill their potential. And the last case drags on and on, which is not necessarily a bad thing in that it wraps up all the loose ends. It ties everything together very neatly. However, it does stretch on for far too long. I really do think they could have been a little bit more succinct with the way they did it. So yeah, so Josh is working on that at the moment. Stu, who I just mentioned, his hands-on with No More Heroes 2 is coming up soon. Stu is also working on Ogre Battle 64. Just came out on Virtual Console recently over here. It's the classic game by Quest, who no longer exist. They were absorbed into Squaresoft and then kind of disassembled, integrated into the giant beast that is Square, and then they became Square Enix, or Enix as people pronounce it. So yeah, Stu's working on a Virtual Console review for Ogre Battle 64. And Ross is working on a belated review of Scribblenauts. Now, I don't really rate Scribblenauts at all, unfortunately. I do like Fifth Cells games. Yeah, I like Locke's Quest a lot. Very fun game. I think Scribblenauts has a lot of potential. Unfortunately, though, I think it's terribly flawed. But it will be quite interesting to see what Ross thinks of that in the end. That will be quite interesting, because I know a lot of reviewers just jumped on it, giving it 9 out of 10, just because the idea was so wondrous and fanciful, and wow, so just type in any word and it will appear on the screen. Yeah, that's fantastic. But make sure that the gameplay is tight and the controls work very well first. Scribblenauts 2 is out later this year, so that's definitely one that I'm going to be watching out for. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Ross says about Scribblenauts. Anyway, last on the list is Fragile, which Shane is working on. Or I actually believe he's completed the game now, and the review will be on Cube 3 shortly. All depends on the schedule. I have to check with Mike about that. Fragile is, of course, the Wii game from Bandai Namco and Tri-Crescendo. Tri-Crescendo is the company that worked on Barton Kaitos, or Baton Kaitos, or however you pronounce that. It's one of those games that has a very strange name and no one really knows how to pronounce it. But they worked with Monolith Soft, who are now owned by Nintendo. Whether they'll work together again in the future on a third Barton Kaitos, I don't know. They keep saying they want to do it, but nothing has been forthcoming. But anyway, Fragile, very interesting, very stylistic adventure. A little bit of an issue with the battle mechanic. It can be a bit slow, it can be a bit cumbersome. It's very awkward. However, it's a magical game. It's something that every Wii owner should at least try out. Give it a go. Give it a whirl. I believe it's out now already in Europe. Again, that's Rising Star Games that picked that up, giving it a bit of a push. So yeah, that's what we've got on the reviews front. We've got quite a few other interviews coming up, but I won't spoil everything. You can sit there and you can mull over, you know, what's going to appear on Cube 3 next, because we don't really tell you much about what's going to go up. We just tend to pop it up and there it goes. I would put out a small request to readers to please just post more comments. Goodness me, is it that difficult? Yeah, we even have a guest posting system now. Yeah, all you have to do is post your message anonymously. We'll vet it. And then it will get posted on the site very quickly. There are many reviews and lots of news articles that are just sat there with no comments at all. They will get plenty of hits, but no comments. Come on, guys. Come on. It's a big community. You can stick on a little message, you know, every now and then. Just let us know what you're thinking. Don't be shy. We're not going to bite. There's a secret game that I've kind of been involved with that I've hinted to slightly in the past, and finally it is coming out this year. I can't say anything about it yet just because of agreements and so on and so forth, but you will be hearing about it in the next couple of months, and of course I'm quite excited, so that's something to look forward to. Anyway, I'm going to end that ramble now. I've been talking for far too long, but I hope this was something different and something that, you know, maybe I could try it again, you know, if people enjoy it. Just to give you a little bit of a summary of what's been going on, what's going on the website, what's coming up. So, yeah, so thanks for listening. I hope I didn't bore you too much with my Radio 4 voice. Stick with Cube 3. Make sure you read the latest news. Post those comments. Make your voices heard about Magic Obelisk. I cannot stress that enough. Such a great game. Please, please, please let Game Arts know we want that in Europe. It only costs 500 points. It cost 1,000 when it came out in Japan. When it came out in the US, they reduced it to 500 points. Now, I would have bought it for 1,000. But for 500 points, it's a must buy. But we can only buy it, obviously, if it's over here. So just let them know that we want it. Anyway, I'll stop there. I will wish you all good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of the day it is. And hopefully talk to you all soon. Ta-ta.